always sound better coming from spiritual people. Amen? And I thank God for that. And I believe that that is the heart of everyone that's on our music team at our church. And I praise God for that. Do you have a Bible with you? How many of you have a Bible with you? Put it way up in the air. Do you have one? Find the book of Daniel chapter number 6. Would you do that? The book of Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. If you would please pray for me, I am getting old. I'm turning 35 next month. I've been using my red Bible up here for 4 years. My parents got it for me for my birthday 4 years ago. And I'm having to use a new Bible tonight that's got bigger letters. Would you pray for me, please? Oh, man. I'm old. I got gray hairs on the side of my head here, all right? Some of you are like, Tom, that is not old, okay? But you pray for me, please. I want to thank our pastor. I thank God for him and how God's using him here, but he's allowed us this opportunity to preach tonight. I'm very thankful for it. I don't take it for granted. And I thank the Lord that God's using him in a different state tonight. And we miss him here, of course, but I really appreciate him giving this opportunity. Before I start, I don't know when or if I'll be able to thank everyone publicly, but I just want to thank our church for this last couple of weeks and then the next several weeks. We haven't been to the Stokes Fair or King Fest in a very long time. And our church served every night at the Stokes County Fair, passing out grief share, divorce care, children's tracts, gospel invitations. We had teams there every night from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock each night. And then yesterday at King Fest, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., we had seven different teams there just giving out the gospel seed. And then we have our friend day on October 22nd and our kids' candy outreach. And we may not see the blessing of that the next day or even today or even several weeks or months from now, but these are gospel seeds that God's going to use to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to be going through a trial or a valley. They're going to pull out that grief share flyer that they got at a Stokes Fair outreach or a King Fest, or they're going to see some invitation. They're going through something. They're going to say, there's a church over there that cared about me to come and give me this. And so thank you, church, for your heart to reach others with the gospel. The light and the candlestick of this church will go out when we refuse to reach others with the gospel. That's why we exist, to reach others for Jesus Christ. And so thank you. It's a blessing to see. I went to the YMCA yesterday morning, and there was a stack of friend day cards that one of you had put there, and that's a blessing to see. And so thank you for your heart to reach others. I've given you plenty of time to find Daniel 6. Have you found it? We're going to be starting in verse number 12. And I can see it. That's a blessing. Verse number 12. Now, just as a reminder, or maybe something new for you, the men, the presidents and princes, had just caught Daniel praying to God. Verse 12. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but made his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The title of tonight's message is simple. It is this: Lessons from a Lion's Den. Lessons from a Lion's Den. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for how it helps and challenges us and changes us. Thank you for the truth of it. And tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd help the Lord and his word to be exalted through the preaching. Lord, help us to leave impacted through the Bible. Thank you for Daniel and how you used him to challenge us thousands of years later. We thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm curious, how many of you enjoyed going to the zoo growing up? Would you raise your hand? All right. Some of you may say, I feel like I'm living in a zoo right now in my home, okay? But you enjoy going to the zoo, all right? Our family lived near the Philadelphia Zoo, so we went there a few times, I remember growing up. And there was always an animal checklist that you kind of enjoyed seeing, okay? You saw the gorilla and the polar bear, and you saw the reptile area and all the kind of stuff, the alligators and the snakes and everything, and you saw the giraffe and the elephant and everything. But then you came along to the lion exhibit, and there was just a different feeling and a different edge of interest that strikes you when you saw that lion. How many of you know what I'm talking about, okay? And isn't it a great feeling to know that the only thing protecting you from death is a wired fence and a plexiglass wall, okay? And that's a blessing. But tonight in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel has no fence. He has no plexiglass wall to defend himself with. Nothing. It is him, and it's the lions. But there was somebody else in that den with him. And that's all that Daniel needed. Who was that? It was God. Amen? You see, you may leave here tonight and think, that's a great story about Daniel. And I'm telling you, it is not a story about Daniel. This is a story about a great God. And Calvary Baptist Church, if you were to ask any boy or any girl, what is your favorite Bible story? Probably, I would guess, one of the top five answers would be, my favorite Bible story is what? Daniel and the Lion's Den. It's a classic story. But I don't want you to hear this or understand this from what maybe you may leave here and think, like, well, that's a really cool story. I've heard that all my life, Daniel and the Lion's Den. No, this is a truth about a great God who stopped the lion's mouth and delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. I want to remind you that in Daniel 6, that Daniel was not of Babylon. He was a captive who learned to live righteously in a wicked culture in Babylon. Back in September, a few weeks ago, we looked at the first half of Daniel chapter 6, and we saw the presidents and princes who were jealous of Daniel. And they deceive the king here, and they make a decree that no one could pray to any god or anyone for 30 days except to the king. And if you pray to anyone except for the king, you'll be cast into the den of lions. Well, Daniel, praise the Lord, chose to obey God rather than man. And he defied the king's orders. And a few weeks ago, we left Daniel on the precipice of the lion's den, getting ready to be thrown in. We saw what it meant to be lion's den ready. Well, tonight we're going to walk through the lion's den with Daniel. Lessons from the lion's den. And tonight God is going to teach us some lessons on what you need to do, like Daniel, when you go through a lion's den. You see, the story that we find here was written and given to us thousands of years ago. But isn't it just like God to help us now, in October the 8th of 2023. That's a great God, amen. That's something that happened thousands of years ago can help us right now. Lessons from a lion's den. Are you going through a lion's den right now? Here's the first lesson. Number one, live faithfully. Number one, live faithfully. Can I ask you to look with me again at verse number 16? Look at it, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest, what's the next word, church? What's the next word? Continually. Before you utter the words tomorrow, we just have it so hard today. I want you to remember Daniel. Try being thrown into a den of hungry lions. But even still, this Daniel chose to serve God faithfully. What's the word that is used here? Continually. Calvary Baptist Church, the circumstances that Daniel found himself in here, it did not affect his faithfulness to God. His circumstances did not affect his faithfulness to God. Here is a king who is obviously sensing some guilt for what's happening. He was tricked by these presidents and princes to sign this decree. And because it was a law of the Medes and Persians, there was nothing he could do. The Bible says that the king Darius stayed up all night trying to figure out some way to change this law. But he couldn't. And the very decree that the king signed would be the very thing that sent Daniel, one of his most trusted men, to his death. But then the king makes this statement, "The God whom thou servest," what's the word, church? Help me out. "The God whom thou servest," what? "Continually." Did Daniel's close friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they say this about Daniel? Or did the king say this about Daniel? The king did. It was a lost king that saw in Daniel that there was someone worth following, the God, the Jehovah God. The God whom you serve continually. And I want to ask every single individual in this room, when our culture, when our neighbors, when our coworkers, when the people around us, when they see us, do they see us serving God continually or only when it is convenient for us or when our circumstances allow us to? Do they see us only being faithful to God when the times are good, or do they see us being faithful to God also when we're going through the lion's den? That friend day invitation, it will be received a whole lot better from your coworker when they see you loving God every day and not just on some days. Amen. This is our seventh message in the book of Daniel. And if you've listened at all, just a little, you have discovered that Daniel did not live in a godly atmosphere. He did not live in a super spiritual environment. He lived in a pagan culture, a wicked time. Does that sound at all like today? How many of you believe that we are living in wicked times, living in a wicked culture? But yet, Daniel gave us an example to serve God continually. I want to remind you again, hard circumstances did not affect Daniel's faithfulness to God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." I don't say this harshly. I say this with love, only to say it with warning. But I would say most of people in this room know someone that used to sit in the seats in this auditorium, but a lion's den moment happened in their life and they are nowhere to be found. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, if you faint in your lion's den moment, a day of adversity, if you faint during difficulty, your strength, it is small. Don't let the lion's den, church, stop you from being faithful to God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, "Most men will proclaim their own goodness, himself his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" And we live in a society, and if we're not careful, us Christians can get sucked into this about, look at me, look what I've done, look what I can do. But what the Bible says and what the Bible needs for Christians today is to be faithful. You know what God is looking for? Christians that will serve God continually. Christians that will serve God faithfully. I look across this auditorium tonight, I look into the eyes of so many who have been through a spiritual lion's den, but you're still here. Still teaching that class, still working in that nursery, still singing, still serving, still soul winning, still investing, and still giving. And we must be like Daniel, live faithfully, live continually. If you faint in the day of adversity, if you faint when things are going tough, your strength, sir, your strength, ma'am, it is small. God is looking for Christians who will continue. He is a faithful God worthy following. And King Darius saw that in Daniel. Our world must see faithful Christians. What's the first lesson in the lion's den? Number one, live faithfully. What's the second lesson? Number two, trust God's promises. Would you write that down? Number two, trust God's promises. We're going to go back to verse number 16. Would you read it with me here again? Thy God whom thou servest continually. What's the next four words here, church? What is it? He will deliver thee. Church, can I ask you a question? Here's another question. Who makes the statement here? Does God make the statement here, he will deliver thee? Or did the king that threw him into the lion's den make this statement? The king did. But is there ever a moment in Scripture where God also makes this statement? He sure does. Here's a few. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Who thinks that Daniel was in a little bit of a difficult situation right here? God said, I will deliver thee. Psalm 91, verse 2 and 3. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 21. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Lesson two, when you're in a lion's den, trust God's promises. I was at a conference in Hickory a few weeks ago, and Brother Bill Prater made this statement, and I wrote it down. He said this, don't rest on what you feel to be true. Rest on what you know to be true, the Word of God. Don't rest in what you feel to be true. Rest in what you know to be true. And church, we rest upon what we know to be true, and it is the Word of God. The promises of God is what's true. Christians, if you live every day or go through your lion's den based on your feelings, sir, your feelings, ma'am, it will deceive you every single time. You must trust in the promises of God, what you know to be true, because feelings will fail you. They will fail you, but Jesus never fails. He never fails. Let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That sounds a whole lot like a promise. God's promises are not ifs. God's promises are shalls. They're not ifs, they are shalls. And so many Christians today are worrying and they're fretting over the ifs when God simply wants you to live in the shalls. If the king of Babylon can say to Daniel, he will deliver thee, surely there's some Christians who will say, my God will deliver me. Amen? Here's a king that threw him into the lion's den, and he said, your God will deliver you. Surely someone that believes in God and believes in Jesus Christ can say, my God will deliver me. Amen. We know better, and yet we fail to live in the promises of God. There's an old song that we used to sing growing up. I can still hear my dad and mom singing it in church. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world's e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Hey, Christian, tomorrow turn off Fox News. Let me say that one more time. Turn off Fox News. Turn off Facebook. Turn off the stop reading the articles and turn off the podcast. Stop looking at the doom and gloom and rest on what you know to be true, the Word of God. Things are not falling apart. Don't you believe the lie that things are falling apart. Things are simply falling together because our God is true and every man is a liar. Daniel had to learn and had to lean on the promises of God in a lion's den. God used Hudson Taylor and his wife as missionaries in China for 54 years. And the Taylors, they were very poor, and they didn't have very much. And during a very trying time at the work of the China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor wrote his wife, and it was these simple words. Honey, all we have right now is 25 cents and all the promises of God. He said, honey, materially, we've got 25 cents, but spiritually, we've got the promises of God. And he saw in China that God and the promises of God are all you need. They're all we need. Amen. Christians in your lion's den, if you have the promises of God, he is all you need. He will deliver thee. Our God is able to deliver thee. Lesson number two, trust God's promises. So, verse 17 through verse 22, Daniel is now inside the lion's den. He's in the den. And King Darius literally cannot sleep all night. Look at verse number 18. Look at verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. I can see him pacing the floor, wondering what's going to happen to Daniel. So the king goes very early the next morning to the lion's den, hoping and wishing that Daniel's God did indeed deliver him. But look at verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, a sorrowful voice, a crying out voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, here is again, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I can see him making this statement, kind of pausing for a moment, waiting to hear if there was any response through the night from Daniel. Look what happens next in verse 21. Then said what? Daniel. Did God deliver him? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that there have and they have not hurt me. Lesson number three, live in faith and not in fear. Lesson three in your lion's den, live in faith and not in fear. Look at verse number 23. Here's our point. Verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him. I have this next phrase underlined in my Bible. I would encourage you to do the same. Why did these lions not hurt him? Why? Here's the response. Because he believed in his God. And all God's people said, amen. Live in faith and not in fear. I like Lester Roloff's favorite song. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. Because I know the Lord ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. You may disagree with me, but I do not believe that Daniel went into that lion's den shaking and fearful and fretting and worrying about what was going to happen to him. I believe he walked into that lion's den believing that God was going to deliver him. He knew that what he prayed and when he prayed, he would be thrown to the lion's den. And I believe that he knew that there was a God in heaven that was fully capable of delivering him out of the lion's den. And he may just have used a lion as his pillow that night. Amen? There's a good chance he might have just laid down lions and I'm going to use this lion as a pillow tonight. I recently saw a funny series of pictures showing what it would look like if Bible characters had cell phones. And here's a picture of Daniel taking a selfie with the lions, all right? Isn't that good? Now, church, would Daniel have taken a selfie with the lions? I don't think so. But I will tell you this, Daniel believed in his God. No fear, no faith, only faith. Daniel knew that his praying would send him to the lion's den, but Daniel also knew that God would deliver him. Christian, can I ask you tonight, do you live in faith or do you live in fear? There's no middle option. You can live in faith or you can live in fear. I think we can all agree that Daniel had every excuse to be fearful at this point. Now, don't act all spiritual right now, but how many of you would have a little bit of fear if you were put into a lion's den with no plexiglass, no barbed wire, just you and the lions? Who's fearful in here? Raise your hand, okay? Daniel had every right to be fearful. He was literally surrounded by lions. But Daniel, what does the Bible say? He believed in his God. Christians, in your lion's den, you can be driven by faith or you can be driven by fear. Why live every day in fear of what could happen when you can live in faith, knowing that you have a God who is able to deliver you? Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. If you're not just, you ain't living by faith. You're living by fear. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, not was, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We are living, listen, we are living today in what I call fatalistic Christianity. We are living today in what I call fatalistic Christianity. Christians today are talking as if it is the worst, when in reality, we have it the best. Christians today are talking as if we have it the worst, when in reality, we have it the best. I hear so many Christians today, well, brother, and it's always with a down note, we're living in the last days. Everything is just so bad. And they talk as if God is not in heaven, and they talk as if God has vacated his throne and does not know what in the world is going on. You know why Christians talk that way? You know why Christians are fear-driven? It's because we have a heavy diet of media and news and podcasts and fear-driven articles and radio, and we are not having a heavy diet of the Bible and of prayer. I have found in my own personal life that whenever I have a heavy diet of everything else except for God, I am fear-driven. But when I have a heavy diet of prayer and Bible reading, I am driven by faith. We do not need another fatalistic Christian. We need Christians who are driven by faith and are driven to God. If we are not careful, we will let the lion's den affect our spirit. Have you ever asked someone how their day was going only to instantly regret your decision to ask them that question? You say, how's your day going? And a half hour later, you regretted asking them that question. If we're not careful, us Christians, I'm talking to me, we can become critical, we can become cranky, we can become contentious and harsh and irritable and not joy-filled. And Christians should be everything but all that I just listed. We should be filled with the joy of Jesus Christ. I work here, so obviously I get to drive my kids to school each morning. So on the way to school, we usually listen to a couple songs, and usually they're Patch the Pirate songs. Well, Elise Carrison Siles' current favorite song by Patch the Pirate is one, and it's one called Call the Wambulance. Wah, 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 call the ambulance. It's about having a right attitude and not being a complainer and a whiner. Here's what the lyrics are that Patch wrote. Wah, 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 call the ambulance. A pity party starting any minute. Wah, 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 call the ambulance. You quit complaining or I'll put you in it. Praise your God. Don't be a whiner. Be a trusting in the Savior all the timer. So if you make a fuss, call the wambulance, we must. Wah, 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 call the wambulance. If some of you parents want that, text me and I'll send you a YouTube link for it. It's really good. Hey, Christian, on your worst day, you're a child of God. Amen. On your worst day, you're a child of God. Why live every day in fear, wondering what could happen, when you can live in faith, knowing that you have a God who is able to deliver you? Daniel believed in his God. Lesson number 3, live in faith, not in fear. Here's our 4th lesson. Number 4, God controls your enemies. I like this one. God controls your enemies. Look at verse 24. This is a great verse. Look at 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast... what's the word, church? Cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. And break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. King Darius took those same men that were jealous of Daniel, those same men that wrote up that decree and tricked the king to sign, and he threw them into the den of lions. And the king threw in their children and their wives too. This is just a side lesson, but the Lord taught me something. I won't dwell here, but just a word to us dads. Dads, our actions affect our families. Be careful what you do, dads, because it will likely affect your family. Then look what the Bible says here. The lions had the mastery of them. Hey, do you not think those lions were hungry? I don't know if they got, you know, some meat thrown to them, but they had this guy, Daniel, sitting there, who knows how long he was sitting there, at least all night, and they couldn't do a thing. But then all of a sudden, those men and their family gets thrown in there, and the Bible says, as the plotters and their families were cast therein, the lions caught them and broke their bones and their powerful jaws, and they tore them apart before they could reach the bottom of the den. And God closed the mouths for Daniel, but he opened them for those people. God controls your enemies. Here's the lesson God wants us to learn in this. Remember that God controls your enemies, church. Listen, you can't, but there's a God in heaven who can. You can either fight your enemies, try to stick up for yourself, or you can just choose to give it to God. Daniel could have said something before he got thrown. Wouldn't you have said something? I don't know if they put his arms around him. I don't know, but he's getting ready to be thrown this lion's den. He could have said, sir, I was praying to God, but he didn't say a word. Gets put into the lion's den. He let God fight for him. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you and he shall hold your peace. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of his great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 18:3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Christian, in your lion's den, learn to be quiet. Learn to be still and let God fight for you. Hey, church, God is a very good defender. He's very good at it. So let's let God do his job. And by the way, God always wins every single time. Every time he always wins. In your lion's den, let God control your enemies. You follow God, you do what God's called you to do, and let him control all those naysayers. Because God does a very good job at defending us. And he doesn't need our help. God controls your enemies. Lesson number five. Lesson five, God never changes. God never changes. We're going to pick back up a reading in verse 25 to the end of the chapter. Look at verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Now he's going to make a new decree. Verse 26, what is the new decree? I make a decree that in every nation of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Can you see this? Darius the king was so moved by what happened to Daniel and by the power of the God of Daniel that he wrote a decree to every nation, to every nationality, and he ordered that throughout his vast realm, that all men were ordered to fear Jehovah, to fear the God of Daniel. Even though he was a pagan Gentile king, Darius quickly discovered that the God of Daniel was the true living God, and he endured and he still endures forever and forever. Isn't this a remarkable thing that is happening here? Darius continued to praise the Almighty of God, noting that he delivers and he rescues his people. He worked great miracles in heaven and in earth. So what lesson can you remember this week in the lion's den when you're going through the lion's den? The God of Daniel's day, he's the God of today. He hasn't changed. You may think that he has changed. Say, does God not understand what's going all around in our culture? What in the world is going on? He has not changed. He has not changed. Not one time has he changed. And he is just fine. And the God of Daniel's day, the God of Daniel's day, he's the God of right now. Do you think that God could do with a king today that he does with this king here? Do you believe that? Or is it, oh, that's a really neat thing that God did that back in King Darius. He could not do that today. Really? Do you believe that? Fatalistic Christian, do you really believe that? Or do you believe that God can do the same thing today? God has not changed. All around us is changing, but God has not changed. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not the I was God. He is the I am God. He's not I was, he is I am. He's a very present help in trouble. The God that sent Daniel to wicked Babylon and helped him reveal dreams of kings, the God that delivered his three friends from the fiery furnace, is the same God that delivered him out of the lion's den. The same God. God has not changed, and church family, God will never change. That's my God tonight. In your lion's den this week, remember that you have a God that does not change. The God of the lion's den is the God of today, unchanging, reigning forever and forever. Back in 2018, Brother Michael Lane, he interviewed Dr. Billy Martin. And pray for Dr. Martin, please. He's well up in years and he's not really traveling much at all. But God used this man to help plant the very church that we have today in 1969. And this past week, the video was shared again on social media. I was re-watching that interview that Brother Lane did with Dr. Martin. And he was talking about our church history and why God burdened him to start our church and why God burdened him to begin Calvary. And he began talking about all the different things that God did in those early years. But he made a statement in that video that I had never remembered or even remember seeing or hearing. But that statement he made, it struck me. I put it on the screen here. I'd like to encourage you to write it down. He said, "Do not accept discouragement as God's plan. Accept victory as God's promise." Isn't that good? Do not accept discouragement as God's plan. Accept victory as God's promise. He was saying there were some obstacles that happened in getting Calvary planted and getting it started. There were some discouraging times, but there were some people here that refused to allow discouragement to rule them. They did not accept discouragement as God's plan. They accepted victory as God's promise. And church family, you can live every 24-hour cycle of your day living in discouragement, living in discouragement, living in discouragement. Everything's awful and woe is me and everything's bad. Or you can trust the God of the Bible, the God of Daniel's day. The God of Daniel's day has not changed. And you can accept victory as God's promise. I don't know what your lion's den may be. Your lion's den may never be on our long list of prayer requests on Wednesday night. But God has no intention for you to dwell there, and God has no intention for you to stay there. He intends for you to live in victory and live in his promises, because we too can believe in our God. What are the lessons from the lion's den? Live faithfully, trust God's promises, live in fear and not in faith. God controls your enemies, and God never changes. I don't know what your lion's den you're in right now or what you will face this week, but it's time. It's time for Christians to believe God again and remember that he will deliver thee. He will deliver thee. I'd like to ask all of you to close your eyes and bow your head for a moment.